Think about the many ways travel can change us. It introduces us to places and people who challenge and inspire. People we'll never forget, long after we return home. Public radio can change us as well, taking us on journeys around our own country and even around the world. The Hour Ahead is a fun sample of the journeys we've taken together on our show. Hi, I'm Rick Steves. The travels of our first guest today on Travel with Rick Steves often take him on a journey into the past. For decades, historian David McCullough's wildly popular books have brought the great people and events of American history to life. In his book called The Greater Journey, Americans in Paris, McCullough follows a group of 19th century American pioneers who ventured east and then returned home, ready to change the world.
There was no opportunity for the kind of education that they knew was essential. Painters knew that there was no school of art in this country. Architects knew that there was no school of architecture in the United States of America. Medical students knew that medical training in this country was way behind that in Europe, and in France they could get the greatest medical training in the world. And the medical students who went over came back to transform medicine in this country from what they had learned in the School of Medicine in Paris.
What a breath of fresh air and sort of a declaration of freedom to be able to come from America where you couldn't dissect bodies, you couldn't look at a woman's body as a doctor.
No.
And to go over there and to find out, hey, there's a whole new dimension of ability to study.
Cadavers were illegal. And because they were illegal, they were only available on the black market. And because they were only available on the black market, they were extremely expensive. So the doctors got to work with a cadaver, but students never did. So you'd have people graduating from medical school, supposedly surgeons, who'd never cut open a body in their life, doing it to a live person, and very often with little or no anesthetic.
You know, the Atlantic Ocean was much bigger back then, wasn't it?
Yes, it was. In the 1830s, the steam transportation was not very much as yet. They went over by sailing ship, most of them. They came across very slowly and often not very pleasantly, and they would land at Le Havre.
So everybody really would basically land in Le Havre and then head straight into
Paris.
Yes,
and there was no train up to Paris. They would go by wagons or giant stagecoaches, they look like.
Right.
They would almost always stop at Rouen, and they would see the great cathedral of Rouen, and it just took their breath away. Now, consider, they'd never seen anything that high, that big, in a work of architecture in their lives. The tallest structure here in the United States was probably Independence Hall in Philadelphia, not much at all.
So we're talking these Gothic cathedrals soaring to the heavens, made out of stone.
And they'd never seen anything even remotely so old. It just took their breath away. And several of them, including James Fenimore Cooper, said if the trip across, with all its agonies, had amounted only to seeing that cathedral, it would have been worth it.
That's historian David McCullough reminding us of the greater journey some Americans took, studying in France in the 19th century, to equip them to change life for the better here in America. When reporter Eric Weiner travels today, he also finds insight and inspiration from our neighbors. And for him, it's just over the border in Canada.
I know some people consider it boring and it's not quote-unquote exotic, but you know, you cross that border, as I do every year, and your blood pressure drops. And it's not the scenery per se, which is of course beautiful, it's the people. Canadians are nice. And, you know, they will deny it. If you ask a Canadian, they say, oh, that's a cliche. We're not really that nice. But just try this. Next time you're with Canadian friends, tell them this joke. How do you get 50 Canadians to leave a swimming pool?
How?
You make an announcement. Will all the Canadians please leave the pool? Yeah. And see, Americans don't find that funny, but Canadians find this really funny because they recognize themselves. They're kind of obedient and nice.
You can actually hear it sometimes in their choice of words. They've got certain what you call hedge words.
Right. They will not be quite as definitive in their speech as Americans. They will say, you know, could have, would, should, probably, those sort of words. And, you know, is it a fear of causing offense or is it politeness? I'm not sure, but they are polite, and I think that's an underappreciated art, and they are humble. There was an incident, unfortunate incident, a number of years ago that you may recall at the Parliament building in Ottawa, where people were killed. There was a gunman, and the sergeant of arms came to the rescue. He shot dead the attacker, and he was lauded in the Canadian press, not only for his heroism, but for his humility. Hmm. I thought that was very striking. You heard about what a humble man he was. And I thought, well, we wouldn't quite say that on this side of the border.
Would it have something to do with sparsity in population and the harsh environment, and they had to survive working together?
That's one Canadian friend of mine suggested that. You know, he's from Montreal. He's like, he said to me, basically, look, the winters are harsh. You go back 100 years, they were even harsher because, you know, you had less indoor heating and that sort of thing. And you had to look out for one another, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you couldn't be a jerk because other people would die. I can hear already some Canadians will be listening to this and say, oh, we're not really like that. But I say, what's wrong with being nice? I mean, come on. We could all, as Americans, and I say that residents of the United States, as opposed to North Americans, mm-hmm. we could learn a thing or two from the Canadians.
That's writer Eric Weiner about his annual road trip to Canada. These days, our planet feels like it's both smaller and more complex. Countries that once felt distant actually feel more like neighbors now. And good media can help us get to know our neighbors and help us to see things in a way that gives us understanding, context, and empathy. It's much like travel opens us up to the world and helps us embrace and celebrate diversity rather than fear it. But these days, media, in an attempt to grab our attention, can also play to our fears and make us feel threatened and unsafe. Ironically, the more that happens, the more we shut out and stop listening to the world, and the more misunderstanding can grow. Fear-mongering media can actually make us less safe. Public media, that's public radio, pushes not fear, but understanding. It's not scrambling to get more audience for advertisers. It makes us friends with our world. Today, during this special edition of Travel with Rick Steves, we're honoring the information source that's dedicated to enlightening you, not frightening you. Public radio remains a beacon of intelligent and inspiring information about our community. And it's a good place to get to know our neighbors, whether across town or across the world. Now, more than ever, we need to understand each other. We rely on public radio to take us to all the places we need to go in order to be informed citizens. Show your support for public radio by deciding how much you value this station. And please decide today what you can do financially to support your public radio station. We're counting on you right now.